Current podcast.
Current podcast.
Current podcast. Find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. Now you get to see what it takes to create something for y'all to listen to and watch. I hope y'all appreciate it. Let's get it.
We just had UFC 298 came and went this past Saturday here in Anaheim. And it kind of sucked having a UFC event so close and not being able to go to it because expensive. It was so expensive. And honestly, I could have probably gone, bro. But it's like, it's just not worth paying that much money.
It's not.
Like $450 plus to be all the way up top in nosebleeds.
It's like, And you got to remember the time we went. Nosebleeds is not worth it in UFC. In my opinion, it's not worth it because you're going to be looking at the TV. If you're going to be looking at the Jumbotron they have or whatever, then just stay home. There's no point in paying for nosebleed seats. When we went midsection.
Yeah.
And we saw how worth it that was.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you know, if you can afford the midsection, I would be like, let's go midsection. But no, it was too ridiculous. Way too ridiculous. And I understand the prices are like that because it's California. Because if it was in Vegas, it wouldn't be like that.
Bro, it's anywhere. It's like that, bro.
But
I've been looking at ticket prices in other venues, especially when it's a pay-per-view night, bro.
There's been times where midsection can be $600, bro.
Nah, bro. From what I've seen lately in Vegas, anything that's, again, that it's a pay-per-view event, there's a championship on the line, any of that, it's a UFC 300, whatever, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's, or 297, whatever it is. It's
now, here's my question. Are you talking about...
We went to a fight night when we went to as well.
No.
And it was in a smaller venue too.
Yeah. But here's my question. When you're looking at those tickets, are you looking at them at Ticketmaster or are you looking at them straight from UFC's pre-sale?
Well, their pre-sale is at Ticketmaster.
Because the one that taught me, right, because he's the one that goes often... when he buys them, he signs up to the UFC one.
Yeah,
because he was telling me that they get more expensive after that pre-sale, and he shows me the prices that he gets them at.
I've seen
he gets them within 5 and 6. You know, midsection.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but again, a lot of those. Every time that I've seen, even because I've done the pre-sale codes too, even to go to Vegas or. I think the closest one besides that I saw one time,
Arizona. Yeah.
I think Utah I saw one time too, bro. And those probably, I'm telling you, anytime that it's a pay-per-view marquee event, you got to pay a good amount of money. The cheapest that I've seen nosebleeds, I think, were like $300, $350. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the cheapest I've seen. I think that one was in Utah. I think one time Kamaru Usman was fighting. But yeah, that's just the thing when it comes to UFC. It's going to be expensive. And I think it's just because there's also a, you can say a sort of demand for it because, I mean, Dana White, every time that he has a press conference after the fight, he's talking about how he's breaking gates and all that stuff. And that means that it's sold out. That means that every seat has been sold.
Well, it goes back to the pandemic. He was the only sport that was available during the pandemic. He got a way more bigger fan base because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped expand UFC to another level that it wasn't before.
Mm-hmm.
To where now you have way more new fans, you have more people involved in the sport, and it's become a sport where people want to see it more.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that it's become a bigger brand is because there's other fighting companies out there that we know about, however, they're not as big. You look at PFL, you look at Bare Knuckle, and I'm pretty sure you can name other ones, but those companies still haven't gotten the engagement that the UFC has right now.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the pandemic helped scale it to another level. Because prior to the pandemic, yes, it had a fan base. I'm not going to say it didn't. But I feel like the pandemic scaled that fan base to another level.
Yeah.
Because it was the only sport for a while.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I do like about when it's here in California, though, is that the Athletic Commission here in California always gives us the fighter pay for the fighters and whatnot. And I think that's something that is very interesting to see. Cause for example, we're talking about how much we're paying to go see them. And then just to see that, for example, it's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but just to see it compared to things like boxing or NBA, all this stuff, Ilia Topuria made $350, no bonus.
Which is weird.
You know what I mean?
Because he deserves a bonus for the knockout.
Alexander Volkanovski made $750, and you know, so that.
But that's just off the fight, right? That's not even talking about pay-per-view points. Yeah, that's not even talking about the gate.
I don't know if he makes gate. I know he makes pay-per-view points, but I don't know if he touches gate at all. Robert Whittaker made $400,000 plus $100,000 win bonus. You know what I mean? So it's like just seeing these numbers,
Then also too, here's my other question. Since they made that money in California, does California tax them?
Oh yeah. So they get taxed that much money. They get,
So in the end, he might be making, if he made $500,000, maybe he's making $300,000.
You know what I mean? And then you still got to pay your trainers, your gym.
Hurts to fight in California.
Yeah. And I know for that reason, some fighters choose not to fight in California.
Yeah.
Cause it's like
they rather fight in Vegas where they don't get taxed that way, or Texas. Yeah,
you know what I mean, so that's the crazy part there too. Where I like to see it for those reasons, because it's like, yeah, you get to.
I wonder how it goes when they fight internationally, because they might not pay taxes at all.
If you're a U.S.
I'm talking about fighter, if you're fighting in Mexico or if you're still
fighting in the U.S.
Yeah.
And you're bringing that money back with you. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. If it's coming back to country, Uncle Sam is going to be like, you got to declare that. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
If you have, like, for example, Ilia Topuria, any of these fighters, all these international fighters, they got a visa to come and fight here.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure Uncle Sam still takes their cuts.
Well, technically, one way or another. Technically, people that are not from here and have a working visa actually pay more taxes than residents do.
Exactly. So that's my point. Where it's like Ilia Topuria probably paid some tax in that.
Yeah, he probably paid more taxes than other fighters.
He paid California tax and some federal tax, mm-hmm. probably.
Yep.
You know, so all that goes to.
He's probably, this win came at a cost.
Yeah, no, so that's the crazy thing. Mm-hmm. Like what I like about it being here, something that Dana White said was that, for example, right before this, I think it was before this event, the WWE also had an event. They had a Raw Monday Night Raw
unaware
at Anaheim, and they said that they're gonna have two more events here, two more WWE events and two more, because now they're conglomerate, and two more UFC events here in Anaheim. So I'm hoping the next one to do here in Anaheim is a fight night. It's not a pay-per-view, and they make it like
more affordable.
Like, you know, hopefully that it comes with that as well, as that, you know, it's a if fight it's night a
fight
price.
Night, yeah,
it's
not it
a,
should be.
It's not a headliner price. It's not a main event, or I don't know how you want to call it, pay-per-view price.
Pay-per-view price, basically.
So yeah, that's something there. Besides that, Henry Cejudo said that if he lost this fight, he would retire again.
Good.
So I think that's why.
I think in my opinion, he should have never came back. He should have stayed retired.
In my opinion,
because he retired in a high.
In my opinion, I still beg the question as of why he left in the first place. Because I think he
left at the top of the game. Like, he should.
In my opinion, if you even had the thoughts to come back, like. Because I think that when he left over the thing that he wanted to get paid more. He felt like he was more of a draw than he actually was. And that's why I feel like he walked away. Because I feel like what he did, he was walk away in the sense that I'm going to try to call the UFC's bluff that, you know, hopefully they come at me with more money and I come back. And that didn't happen. And then, so that's why I feel like he should have never left in the first place.
Here's the other thing that I would argue.
That wave.
Well, the other thing I would argue is that those divisions got better when he left.
Taking 3 years off is not a good thing in this sport.
Those divisions got better when he left.
It would have been better for him and his money to stay in the sport, fought those 3 years, and retire now. Maybe still on a high or maybe not, but you would have probably had more opportunity at more pay-per-view points. He probably, you know, it probably would have been Sean O'Malley that fought him instead of Sterling, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that aspect, yeah, Cejudo most likely to retire again. I wonder what's next for that guy, though. After that,
probably coach.
Yeah. He's coaching Mackenzie Dern.
Yeah.
He's coached a lot of people, actually. He even worked out a lot with John Jones for heavyweight and all that. But yeah, so after that, we also, honestly, this fighter for me, he's taken a weird turn. Just because, I mean, when he just came in his first couple fights, I really liked him. Once, now that he's gotten into the limelight and all this stuff, it's made me just feel like kind of indifferent about him more than anything.
Talking about Mr. Machado?
Yes, we are. And this fight specifically, like, as much as I like people to, like, fight and, like, you know, throw down all that stuff, like, I also have to see the technique and you know, the game plan, if you will, that they're taking for each fight.
First of all, I disliked that fight. I disliked it a lot. And it wasn't even because I need to see brutality or, you know, it has to be like super engaging like that. No, I disliked it because I felt like he was taking it as if he was sparring. I disliked the whole fact that every time Magny would do something right, Neil, like he would either...
Jeff Neil.
Yeah. Whether he would like punch him or kick him, he would dab him up like, oh, good job. And I was like, why are you dabbing this dude? This is a fight. Like, are you disrespecting him by dabbing him? Are you really happy he hit you that way? Like, it kind of makes you dislike the fight because you're doing that. It's like, dude, this is a competition. The competition is in front of you. Mm-hmm. You don't tell your competition, good job. You can tell him that after the fight is done because now you've determined, like, you know, like you left it all on the mat and you're like, hey, that was dope. You know, you see every fighter do that once it's done. But during the fight, it makes you not want to watch. Mm. I don't know. That's just how I felt.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest sore eye of the fight for sure. As far as the way that Ian fought, I know I can see why he did that because every time Jeff Neal would plant his feet and get and land that punch, he felt that shit. So it was in his best interest to keep moving.
No, it's just an interest to keep moving. No,
the whole of each other dapping them up. To me, it's like I totally agree with you. By the way, I totally agree with you.
The turnoff,
because I feel like
you're put off. You're like, why do I want to watch this?
Yeah, because I feel like on both ends, it's kind of like, bro, you guys are kind of here to like fuck each other up in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are both here to.
It's like imagine like if you're watching.
To me, let's
put it in basketball, right? Like if you're watching two basketball teams, and after every bucket, AD or LeBron is telling the opposition, "Dope bucket, bro! Like, yeah. Good job!" Like. It's like, what?
Yeah, no, I think the reason why I started about Ian Garry and all that stuff was because when he started off, it was a lot of more about the fighting and all that stuff. And then as he's gone, especially for the Neil Magny fight he had a couple fights ago, the whole thing about him, like, really being vocal about what Neil Magny, like, I feel like Ian Garry really starts, he needed to find a reason to really, like,
engage almost, with the crowd.
Not that
he was trying to engage.
That plus,
he failed in that way.
Plus,
but
also like finding a way to like get more
viewership.
Not even viewership, but get more upset about who he was about to fight. Like he needed a stirrup, like some. Sort
okay,
of
so
a
he beef, was trying to do the story,
a beef.
Try to create a story to go into a
so,
persona.
So he did that with Neil Magny, and then like to me, I understood where he was coming from, but to take it to the level he did was very dumb.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about it was that in the fight, he had a fight where he did show out. You know, he kicked the shit out of Neil Magny's legs to the point where he couldn't fight anymore. You know, I wasn't upset with the performance or anything like that. Then we get to the Sean Strickland stuff where he starts calling him out and all that stuff. And it's like, to a certain degree, when you start doing this MMA thing there or the fight game, especially to where it is now in this day and age, you start talking, people are going to talk about you. Whether if it's the person you're fighting or someone else, it's that heat's gonna come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it did under the Sean Strickland thing, it was
if you're disrespecting people, people are gonna disrespect you.
If you're also finding like what he did with Neil Magny is and nitpick and find something to like be mad at him about, people are gonna do that about you. People are gonna find be like, all right, now I'm gonna nitpick at you. People are gonna find something that they don't like about you or to expose you about in this case. Like he did about his wife. And honestly, to this point, I still question the validity of everything that Sean Strickland said, because Sean Strickland also could be talking a lot of things out of his ass. And it could also be gym talk where it's like people are just talking shit and maybe the whole truth and everything like that.
Hey, Ian Garry has done nothing to correct it.
And to some degree, though, like besides addressing the person that's making these claims. Like, why are you going to go ahead out of your way to be like, no, my wife isn't. This is not. I think what he's doing to that degree is like, okay, now he's.
No, not, you don't have to clear it with Sean. You have to clear it with your fan base.
Because and I think for the most part, he has in the sense that he's...
you would lose fan base based off what Sean
and
said.
Most of the interviews I've seen with Ian and Gary, he has done a good part of that and saying that, like, you know, that is his wife. It's not what people are saying it is and whatnot. But my whole thing is that it's like, again, you're going to find... Now it's going to come to you. So this is a double-edged sword. Now the fan base has also kind of turned him, you could say, almost into a heel and whatnot. What I didn't like about this fight specifically is that he went back to do kind of, again, he tried to do the Neil Magny thing in the sense that he wore a shirt during the fight week that had Neil Magny's mugshot on it. You know what I mean? So he's like, not necessarily like, again, trying to, but he's already like talking shit about Jeff Neil by doing trolling? That. You know what I mean? He's trolling him. He's doing shit like that. So
Jeff Neil was in jail, right?
Yeah, this is a mugshot of Jeff Neil back in, I don't know when, but...
Okay, because you said Magny. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, it was Jeff Neil.
Okay. Yeah, I know. The names are very similar.
Yeah, because it's Neil Magny and then Jeff Neil. Yeah. So he had a mugshot of him during the fight week and all this stuff. So to me, it's like, if I'm about to fight this guy, he's trying to troll me like this, I'm taking this opportunity to whip his ass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's so that's
but
that's,
I also,
that's one
also
thing.
Think
so I'm taking it to your point too.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna be dapping them up because you're talking shit and whatnot. So then you're gonna be that. Nah, that's something that I'm trying to allude to. That it's like Ian Gary went out of his way to make a shirt about you.
Jeff Neal should have never been dabbing
and
him
make
up.
A joke out of you out of a situation you're in.
Should wipe that hand off like
one a situation that you were in one day in your life. Like for me, bro, like. I think it's again, you're in the fight game, things like this are gonna happen. But once we get locked in that cage, bro, I didn't forget about that shit, bro. Mm. And I'm also not gonna fight with emotion. But again, the moment, like, I'm not gonna be dapping you up like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Should have wiped the hand again and be like, nope.
I would have thrown a head kick as soon as he did that shit, bro. And like, you know what I mean? So to me, it was definitely like that added, like him, like kind of his style of fighting and running away from him and all that stuff. Didn't bother me as much, but him like definitely dabbing him up made it very
disrespect
much of like a boring fight and whatnot.
Mm.
But then we followed up with Whitaker and Costa, and that was very entertaining.
Yeah,
because as much as they respected each other and all that, they went out there to like hurt each other, and they were both in amazing shape.
Were
in amazing shape because I know you were saying that Whitaker is not known for his power and all that stuff, but
it's because he's not known for knockout power. No, Who has he knocked out?
But he's knocked people out before. But what the reason he's TKO'd, but
I never seen him knock someone out.
The reason why that is too is because he's not in his natural weight class. He's a welterweight that moved up to middleweight.
Okay.
But either way, bro, a lot of those shots that he was landing would still have dropped somebody and all that stuff. So that's why I'm saying these guys were both in incredible shape, had amazing chins to withstand all that.
Like I
stuff
said, most
did.
Of the majority I've seen from Whitaker has been volume. He's very fast, and I've always seen him very quick, very fast. Like he even does a double jab that's really lethal.
Mm-hmm.
He also does a thing where he sets up the jab and he kicks you. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen his speed. He's very fast, especially because he keeps his hands very low, which is rare for a fighter. Most fighters keep their hands up. Mm-hmm. He keeps them low, and then from his waist, he hits you.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Whitaker a lot. I've seen a lot of his fights. I root for him. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen of him, majority of fights, I've never seen him with that knockout power. I've seen him with volume, where this guy's landing volume on you. And that's why I said, I was like, he's not going to knock out Costa. What had me worried was that kick from Costa on the first round.
Yeah, for sure.
Where that would have knocked out anybody.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's where I agree with you that they're in shape. Because if Whitaker doesn't have that water weight, you know, from gaining back after depleting himself, dude, that knocks him out right there, and there. Because that kick was...
Not only just that, if it wasn't at the end of the round, too, because that's another thing that helped him out, too. So
like, that kick was lethal.
Yeah, and he
ate an ass.
And he called for a rematch with...
Duplessis?
With Duplessis. And
I think it's justified.
It's justified.
He's still up in the ranks.
Yeah, that weight class right now is like, it's a very interesting state that it's in because, I mean, we also are coming from a place where do we really feel like Duplessis beat Sean Strickland like that? I personally don't feel like he did. You know what I mean? I feel like they should almost run that back, but I know that the
Sean kind of gave up. Like, at least that's what it looks like. I don't know if he had any problems or issues, but in that fight, he looked like he gave up. Because he had the first rounds. I mean, and it's Duplessis just adjusted, to be honest.
Yeah. I just don't see Duplessis as that, like... And I don't even see Sean Strickland as that champion.
I mean,
like
I see that. They could give Whitaker a chance. Izzy's still there.
Yeah, I literally see that this division is waiting for its champion to return in Whitaker or Adesanya.
Yeah,
because Duplessis, he doesn't convince me. Yeah, he beat Whitaker, but I didn't see Whitaker in the same shape he was for this fight.
Nah, he looked more lethal in this.
You know what I mean? So I think Duplessis should.
And the thing is, Izzy had already said that he wanted to fight Duplessis because Whitaker got knocked out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fight could be... And even Dana, after that, they were like, oh, are they going to get a rematch? And he said they wasn't going to give him the rematch away.
On this press conference, he even apologized for how bad the Toronto card was in January.
It's because it was horrible.
You know what I mean? So it's like... Yeah. That's one thing there too. But yeah, I think right there, I think Costa should fight Strickland. Get those two to fight each other. Or mm-hmm. he fights Cannoneer, something like that. But yeah, that's one thing there. The crazy part to kind of at the ending of this whole thing was Topuria, you know,
in bulk.
Manifesting his what he said was gonna happen and whatnot. And
I think that's what shocks him after he lands it.
Yeah, I mean that it was a pretty incredible fight. And it's funny because not funny, but it's ironic. I saw this thing where I was talking about the butterfly effect,
mm-hmm.
how Volkanovski lost basically everything in 4 months because Charles Oliveira pulled out of the fight with Islam.
Yep.
If he doesn't pull out of that fight and he fights Islam, Volkanovski doesn't get knocked out against Islam.
I think that not him taking that fight with Islam was a mistake. And mm-hmm. I've been saying this all day because we've mm-hmm. been talking about with other people. I've been talking about UFC and I've been saying that like his mistake was to take that Islam fight
without a training camp.
Without a training camp, last minute, like he shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. Like he should have never done that because. Psychologically getting knocked out like that, like the kick and the follow-up, everything, like getting knocked out like that is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a championship fight coming up in a few weeks. Like
I think that, you know, taking the fight, you know, you can argue about that. I think more the big mistake was turning around three or four months later. And
that's what I mean.
I would have waited till
you got knocked out that nasty. And then you got a championship fight. Like, Against
someone that's very, very hungry.
Like psychologically, it's difficult. Like psychologically,
when they booked this fight, I had said it. I'm like, this is too soon for Volk.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that a lot of people started talking. Well, they've always said, right? Where it's the UFC curse is on the cover uh-huh. of the game.
He was on the cover.
That it's alive. Volk was the last one that was on the cover that hadn't lost his belt.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that was on the cover, Valentina, Izzy, him, they have all lost
Connor,
their belt.
Ronda, yep.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about for UFC 5.
But that curse comes from back then.
Yeah.
When Ronda was on it, she got her head kicked off. Connor loses to Khabib, all that stuff. Like, you know, and then Izzy, even Masvidal, bro. Masvidal mm-hmm. gets on that cover with Izzy too on UFC 4, and
retirement.
He gets knocked out too by Usman. You know, doesn't win a fight after his BMF shit. You know, so that it's very much real, and it's also just another stat that goes that in that division, anyone I think past 35 hasn't been able to
hold their
title. You know, what I mean, it's changed hands, and it's crazy how in that division. It's only like Topuria is only like the fifth champion. It goes it goes Aldo, Connor, Holloway, Volkanovski, and now Topuria.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show how, first of all, the division is very young. I mean, it hasn't been that long that it's been in. It only has five champions. And so far, it's...
The next one for Topuria, in my opinion, is either going to be Yair or Brian Ortega.
And I don't even think those guys, honestly. Like, if Brian Ortega beats Yair, I don't see Brian deserving a title shot.
I mean, they're still top five. Those guys are still top five. Holloway.
You have Holloway. I would give it to Holloway for sure. Anything.
You have Holloway. You have Volk. You have Yair. You have Brian Ortega. And there's a Russian guy that I forget his name. It's
tough about Yair.
Those are the top five right now. It's
tough with Yair because Yair, if you look at his...
I'm just talking about the top five that have the opportunity.
And I'm giving you a case of why I wouldn't give it to Brian Ortega or Yair. Even Holloway, because he's about to
fight.
Because
they both fought Volk and Volk defeated them? Holloway's
also about to fight a fight that's not even his weight class. He's about to fight at 155 for the BMF. But Brian Ortega is coming off of an injury. I think that fight that he had was against Yair. So I think they're running that back, if I'm not mistaken.
They're fighting the fight night.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it's this week.
Yair Rodriguez, prior to that,
he lost to Volk.
He had lost to Volk. He had lost to Holloway. And then the one that got him the Volk fight was the Brian Ortega one. That's why I'm like, as much as I like Yair, it's like I still think Volk does deserve that immediate rematch. I don't think it should go to either one of those guys because it's like they still have a lot to, in my opinion, to still prove themselves on. For example, let me see Yair. Yair last year. So the two fights the fight that had gotten him was the when he beat Josh Emmett, and then the year before when he beat Brian Ortega. But Brian Ortega, he injured himself in that fight. So to me, that one was one of those fights where it was so anticlimactic in that aspect. 2021, he loses to Max Holloway. So yeah, you could say it goes to one of those guys. But if Brian Ortega wins, in my opinion, I don't think he should be fighting for the title. Mm-hmm. I think that Yair, possibly, if you will, but Topuria's next fight, in my opinion, should be against Volkanovski again. That's what I think.
Sounds good.
Even if it's in Spain, wherever it is, I think that's what it should be. We finally have a main event for UFC 300. And it's interesting.
Pretty whack.
And it's pretty interesting to me that they got offered that fight like a day before it was announced. And it just makes me really think about... Yeah, it's UFC 300, but how important is it to really have like a star-studded have a really amazing main event like that?
To be honest, the Mexico one looks like a better card than that one.
No, that card looks amazing. The main event is probably lackluster, but the card as a whole, bro, from the beginning of that card, it's even the prelims are going to be good. You know, I don't know if you've seen that card as a whole, but yeah, the Mexico one isn't bad. It's a good one, definitely is, but it's still UFC 300, bro. The fact that we have, let me see if I can bring that up right here. The fact that we have, I mean, bro, we're opening up with, I don't know if it's the opening fight, but you have Jim Miller, Bobby Green. That's a pretty good fight. Jessica Andrade, that usually when she fights, bro, she's slamming people. She's knocking people out. Diego Lopez, Sadiqa Youssef, two up-and-coming fighters that's in the featherweight division, too, really good. Holly Holm welcoming Kayla Harrison. That's going to be a good fight. Cody Garbrandt, Davison Figueiredo, another good fight. Bo Nickel, another good fight. Calvin Kattar, Aljamain Sterling, another one because Aljamain's moving up in weight class. Prohaska versus Rakic, another good one. Oliveira and the Armenian dude, Trezukian. And then Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway, the two Chinese female fighters.
Oh, the Armenian is fighting against Oliveira?
Against Oliveira. Remember you were like, Oliveira has that. Then he was like, no.
Yeah. He said that if that dude loses, he's giving up on UFC.
The problem with this main event right now is that it took so much for us to land at this one.
So the worst fight is the main fight, which is the Pereira one, isn't it?
I wouldn't say that it's the worst fight. I don't think it's a bad fight.
It's not a great matchup, though.
What I don't like is that, again, we took this long to end up at this.
It's not a great matchup.
It should have. If this was even in the talks, like, just, bro, just give it to us like that. I would have been like, whatever. But they hyped it up so much and tried to like, I don't know what they really were hoping to accomplish. I've heard that they were hoping to have maybe John Jones ready to go for this one. Didn't happen. From what Dana White says, Conor McGregor was never an option. So that's that. Leon Edwards was allegedly offered three different opponents. I'm thinking one of them was Khamzat.
And he didn't want to take it.
No, Leon Edwards said he was taking he said yes to all three. Mm. Khamzat said he's not fighting during Ramadan, so that's why he's not fighting UFC 300. Mm. The other person that he offered him to fight, I don't know exactly. My guess could be that because
Usman again or what?
No, my guess because they want a big name for 300 would have been Nate Diaz. They bring back Nate Diaz, but I don't think Nate Diaz was, in a sense, not that he didn't want to, but he probably wanted, either he wanted more money or wasn't ready to go for an MMA bout. You know, he's probably still just doing his boxing thing or whatever. But that was.
And then Burns is fighting recently, so they wouldn't give it to him either.
And then Bilal Muhammad said they never offered him the Leon Edwards fight. So I'm questioning who that third fighter is, who could have been. You know, if it wasn't him, who else would it have been? You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely it was not Conor because Conor wasn't in the play. But to land at Jamahal Hill and this guy, it's like, yeah, I see what you mean in that fact that your first thought is, okay, Poatan is going to knock this guy out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't seem exciting, at least right now. Who knows when we're fight watching it?
Yeah, you know, definitely. But what I do expect to see is Jamahal Hill getting knocked out. And as a card as a whole, though, I think it's a good card. I don't. Every time they were adding fights to this card, I was like, okay, it's a good card. So that's what I'm saying. To land at this main event, it's like, damn. I would have preferred, honestly, if they would have gave us Tom Aspinall versus...
That would have been more interesting.
Because it's at heavyweight.
It's heavyweight.
I would have liked.
You're talking about one. Someone who's really fast. You're talking about another guy who has power. Mm-hmm.
That to me would have been way better. Yeah. Because it's like now you're at somewhere where it's like, again, it begs a question. But with Jamahal Hill coming off of an injury and all this stuff, it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, it's not interesting.
It makes it hard and whatnot. But yeah, at least we're getting a good one this next weekend. And then... see how UFC 300 goes. Dana White says there is one more fight left to announce.
Stipe still in that? Like, Stipe would have been more interesting. He's still in that division, isn't he?
From what I know, Stipe is waiting for John Jones. But Dana White did say that there's one more fight that he's going to announce for UFC 300. It's not the main event because he already announced it, but that there's still one more fight. So who knows, man? That could be something else that they throw in there that is like a fan favorite thing or something like that, or maybe it's a big name, who knows. Mm-hmm. But that's still in the works there. But good UFC 298. 299 is around the corner too. Who do you got with Sean O'Malley and Chito?
I mean, I hope Chito takes it. It'd be interesting. I know the majority gonna be with Sean. Yeah.
That's a really good card too. That one has...
Yeah, that has Gilbert, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it has
Gilbert
Dustin Burns. Poirier as well.
Yeah, it against St. Duplais or whatever.
St. Dennis, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
St. Dennis. And then...
Yeah,
even the guy that Gilbert's fighting, Jack Della, that dude's really good.
Yeah, that's a good fight.
Kevin Holland welcoming Michael Venom Page.
That's a good one, too.
Bro, Peter Young, Song Yadong is going to be a good
one. That's a good one, too. Now, that card is stacked. I saw that card.
Yeah, Gamera versus Rafael Dos Anjos. Yeah, this is a good Macy Barber versus Kanan Jukinian. This is going to be a good one too. And that one's in Miami, I believe.
That's next month.
Yeah, next month. That's going to be March 9th.
Yeah, right around the corner.
Thank you guys so much. That was our UFC recap. Till next time, y'all.